not.
Still studying repentance.
Someday,
but I want to. There's we've looked at, we're looking at now the word, just the word repent, or repentance, and then next we'll look at just the word repent, and then we'll look at the word repenteth, and then we'll look at the word repents. And it's just about every other verse in the New Testament. So there's about 160 of the two we're looking at now. So anyway, we're in Luke. We started yesterday in Luke 3. We didn't get it very far. Luke 3.
Luke 3?
Yeah. Yesterday we read 3, verse 1 through 8. Or through, no, he didn't. We read
through 5.
1 through, huh?
I'm not sure that we read at least through verse 5.
Yeah, I think we read through 6.
Okay.
And this is when he confirms Isaiah's prophecy. But let's start in verse 3 again. And he came into all the country, John the Baptist.
Well,
about Jordan, huh?
What number are you on? 3?
Chapter 3, verse 3.
There you go.
And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain laid and hill laid shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And we talked about the mountains and the valleys and the crooked,
our minds,
which is all. It's the seven mountains of your mind, the valleys of depression, the crooked places when you don't know what's going on, and the rough places have been smooth. The way is complete. But all, we have to bring, cast down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a biggie. Until you have done that, repentance isn't complete. Amen?
So repentance can be complete?
Of course it can be complete. When you brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, when you no longer have the garment, any spots on the garment is no longer spotted by the flesh in any way. It seems impossible. But it's as natural as breathing when you've seen the emptiness and futility of all possible activities of the human race. All possible political action, all possible sports, all possible gaining of anything, all possible losing of anything. You see the futility and emptiness of all of human life, especially yours. And then your mind has no more power over you. You've ignored it. The emotions of the fiery molten images have lost their power over you because you don't give that part any breath, any importance. There's nothing in the world that you give importance to. That's why That's why it's so, that's why, and Paul calls that perfection. And that he, and the exhortation and throughout the gospel, be ye perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be ye holy even as your heavenly Father is holy. No, he's not talking, he's talking to the transfigured, or the one that's in being transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then we'll continue just a little bit more. Then he said to the multitude in verse 7 that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, in Matthew's version, he said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But here it says he said it to all of them. Now, I believe he probably said it more than once. He said it once to everybody. O sons of the snake, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
I might have asked you this before, but maybe I forgot, obviously. What inspired Paul to become such a prolific writer?
A writer?
Well, all of these epistles, all of these...
This is Luke.
Luke
wrote.
I'm sorry, yeah, I was.
What inspired him was there was a bunch of crap going on in Jesus' name. And he was asked, because he was the most probably educated of the disciples, he was a physician, he was asked by Theophilus to put down in order all of the mysteries or all of the things about Jesus. That's why this. And then he wrote this one book, and it included. It was all of Luke, and it was all of, and it was the Acts, the book of Acts. We're all one book at one time. And later on, they separated Luke from Acts, but both of them were written by Luke, but always under the authority of Paul. And they had numerous eyewitnesses that were still alive, and they consulted and had to have two or three witnesses for everything that's in the book of Luke and the book of Acts.
Kind of surprising I asked about Paul when we were reading Luke. I guess I was...
Well, Paul is... Paul, I mean, in terms of the number of pages of... Yeah. In our Bible, it's probably Luke that's most, but in terms of the number of books in the New Testament, Paul is the most. You're musing, Mr. Buckner.
Well, somewhere else it talks about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
It's talking about the only thing that was considered Scripture at this time was the Torah.
At this time?
Right.
The New Testament.
None of the New Testament was considered Scripture.
But I think that's where it's mentioned, all Scripture, isn't it?
No, it has nothing to do with the New Testament. Yeah, the New Testament says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, let's go there, 2 Timothy. Starting in chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He's talking about the faithfulness of Timothy. Now, Timothy's mother and grandmother were believers first. And this was written in 66 AD, just 2 years before Paul's death. It was written from prison. He was under house arrest at this point. In one of the, he was in the palace area of the, and he's under the protection of one of we don't know who he was, but he was obviously part of the Roman government. But anyway, he's Well, let's look and see where he talks about the example. Let's go start in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, now as for you, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are, and from a child. Now Luke is probably in his 30s at this point. No, he's older than that. I mean, we're not talking about Luke. Paul is old, but Timothy, probably 30s or 40s, something like that. And this was so before the New Testament. As a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which
it's Torah.
Are able, huh?
And it's Torah, right there.
Right.
Yeah, Torah after
right. Now, remember, the writings and the prophets came because of rebellion. But the only thing that was considered holy, Scripture, inspiration of God, direct, was the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, all Scripture, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make one wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
A quick question. Joshua, Judges, and Ruth were not part of the Torah.
Huh?
They were not part of the Torah.
Yes, they were.
You sure?
Yeah.
Huh. I thought it was just the original five.
No. There was the Torah and the writings and the prophets. So all of the history of Israel in the writings, I mean, not the writings are only considered Proverbs, Song of Solomon. Well, the writings are the Megillah, Psalms, and Proverbs. I think that's all. And then the prophets, and then the Torah. Now, the most important part of the Torah were the five books, the five. Now, it may have been at some point that was the only thing that was considered Torah.
Yeah.
Probably was. Because that was the Moses, when at the end of Moses. Well, I'm sure, I only know what the ultra-Orthodox think. It's possible, huh?
So does that lessen the New Testament in any way, or?
Well, everything except outside of Torah was considered expansions on the tail.
Even all this stuff, Christ's works and
all of the New Testament would have be considered by the Jews, even if they were Christian Jews, would have been considered expansions on the tail. They expanded the meaning because Christ was as they knew. Everything about Christ was, every act of Messiah, one of the fathers, church fathers, or the holy fathers did in Genesis. Everything that Jesus did in the New Testament was predicted in the fathers in the Old Testament. Okay? No, I'm not saying what I think. I'm saying what they thought at this time.
What do you think?
It's not important. I think that the New Testament is at least on level with Torah, obviously. But only because it explains Torah, if you have any understanding.
That's why we use both.
Well, we use both, but the not church doesn't. The church rarely studies the Old Testament, except when it when they find a scripture that justifies their heresy. A half scripture, usually. All right.
Good.
All right, back to chapter.
Let's go ahead and finish that.
But we're going to. That's what I'm saying.
I thought you were going to change pages.
No, but I want to get everything back in context here.
I'm sorry.
Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make one wise, make thee wise unto salvation through faith. Again, salvation through faith, by faith alone, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen? So the purpose of Scripture, the purpose is to, whoever it is to make you perfect. Perfect, according to Paul, let's look at Paul's version of perfect. Philippians.
So in this 16, when he said this, he was not referring to any of the New Testament.
The New Testament wasn't written.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't codified. They had what he had was what Paul had, and he probably made they had made copies for Timothy and some of the others. The disciples, I don't know about all of them, but at least three of them, made notes about what Jesus said, and they were called the parchments. And so, and those that were approved by the council in Jerusalem were given those parchments or copies of those parchments, which in effect was the explanation of Torah.
Yeah, it's like a targum almost.
Right. It is a targum.
Yeah.
That's why it's sad to me, the least studied book in the entire Bible by Jews and Christians is the book of Leviticus, yeah, the offerings. And it's sad because without seeing that you are perfected by one offering, then you'll always... You cannot possibly understand what this means. What, Pete? Something's troubling you.
I'm thinking about the sheet that you made about the offerings. I'm not troubled.
About what?
The thing you made about the offerings and
the thing.
The chart.
Which one?
Trespasses, the sin offerings.
Oh, there's a chart for each one of the offerings.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that.
Okay.
And wanting to go back and look at that.
Yeah, without knowing that there's a massive difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering, you can't understand your death. So you can never understand baptism. You can't understand it's your burial. You can't understand abandoning yourself because the way is perfect. Anyway, we're Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Starting verse 4. He's talking about, let's start in verse 1 because it's context. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence, no confidence at all in the flesh. Remember, we found out what, Pete found out what the word means, word what was the word was, prudent.
Prudent
is to believe that one and one is two.
Yeah, we leave out the power of God.
Prudence for us is to know that there are, or to give any importance that there are 60 seconds in a minute. Prudence for us is to ignore everything you've ever learned about cause and effect. You do this will happen.
Yeah, I say true prudence is to ignore cause and effect.
Well, I don't think there's something as there's no such thing as untrue prudence.
Well, you were saying prudence is this, 1 + 1 = 2, and then you said prudence.
I'm expanding on the same thing. If you can't know 1 + 1 = 2, then you certainly can't know there are 50, 60 seconds in a minute.
What I heard you say was that prudence is faith, and it just.
No, I didn't say based.
Faith.
I said,
faith.
Prudence is faith. Everything other than, this is another word for faith. For us.
That's why I said true prudence.
All right.
Yeah, you said prudence, and then you gave two opposite definitions, and that's why I said true prudence.
Prudence to us, that was the predicate.
That's why I said to us, or,
That's why I said it at the beginning, prudence to us is.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
Anyway.
Prudence kind of not spending more than you have. It's conservative. It's being.
That's not in the meaning of it in our language. But let's go on. I don't want to get into that. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I mourn. This is regarding, he's talking about his Jewishness, if you will. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now, in Greek, the only way you can be perfect is to be thus minded, is what he's saying. He's not saying anybody that hasn't done all that can be perfect. That's a minor thing. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Now, the only thing that he asked to be follower of was his faith. And he did it without apology. Now, and then he says this. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. For our conversation, our manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change or transfigure our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So he's talked, he said he wasn't perfect, but then he said, follow him. And as many as be, if anybody thinks they're perfect, be thus minded. Perfect is a word, it's teleos, and that's the one that's used here. And teleos means fully tested. It has nothing to do with your test, the test of what you may be going through. Fully tested is what he says as the disciples. You are they that continue with me in my test. Mine. His test has no home in human nature. His test is always about what's coming at him from the outside. What is coming at him, the tests, the temptation to use the powers that he has for the purpose of man as opposed to the will of God. So our test, if you will, anything that's going on with us, theoretically ended at baptism. That was your burial. You buried your test. He alone resurrected from the dead. And then you continue with him in his test. It has nothing to do with human nature whatsoever. And that's what Paul is talking about. He suffered the loss of all things. And he counted all things but dung. But many walk, of whom he's told you often, and I'll tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, their appetites. They're still being back with Genesis, with the first, about the curse. Again, what did God say to the serpent? By your belly you shall be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I believe Paul is referencing this here. By your belly, many walk, or even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. By their belly they are led. That's the fruit of the human nature, human race. Doesn't matter how many times you put Jesus' name on it, it's meaningless. Oh, I'm giving God the glory. Well, that's a big of you. I'm giving God glory. Who in the hell do you think you are? And that's saying, if you're in any charismatic circles, that's all you hear. But I praise you, Lord, I give you all the glory.
For my success.
Huh?
For my success.
Or his lying about his success. Anyhow. At the best, that's childish, all that stuff we just talked about. But now you've been called unto perfection.
This is one of the most profound of scriptures to me. I'm always amused that it's in like parentheses, probably indicating a big fight while they were trying to put this together, and they settled by putting it in parentheses. So it's in there.
Which one are you talking about?
18 and 19.
Yeah, 18 for many walk.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think it's even appropriate that it's in there as I look at it.
Yeah, because it's obvious from the rest of the scripture.
Yeah.
And so, but it's, you know, it is what it is. Because, but it's, you go back to Genesis 3 real quick. It's so amazing to me that it's essentially what God said to the serpent, that Paul is saying to the false believers. Chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art a curse above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. Better stated, by thy belly shall I be led. God. And thou shalt eat dust. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman. Anybody that's ever been married or dated to anybody very long, he's put enmity between you and the woman. But the truth of the matter is he's put enmity between the whore. So eventually, Babylon is going to destroy the whore. Anyway, I want you to consider, just think, what happens if I'm right about Babylon? That Babylon is a metaphor for all of cause and effect, and everybody in the universe worships it. Come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing.
Almost makes it sound like a satanic world, right?
Well, it is. Look at what the serpents, or the evil ones, said to Jesus. In the moment of time, he showed them all the glory, all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all this has been given unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Jesus denied him. He didn't deny what he said. All the kingdoms of the world are of satanic origin. Everything that you think is good you are of your father the devil. That's what Jesus said. And that's what I said to him. We'll do that this morning.
Think about dust.
Dust,
yeah.
Dead people.
Well, just any kind of dust, whether it's diamonds or gold, or anything that's dust. There is any that was the world was made.
And then man is ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
It kind of fleshes out the difference. His life consists of dust, and frankly, I think it's more about people than stuff.
Well, that's what it is, because he was talking to your mind.
Yeah. And so when
you're cursed above all cattle, above all animals.
When you see it in that light, though, you look at the world different.
Amen. There's nothing in the world that has any merit.
Yeah. And I look at all the stuff I do for people, and it's,
meaningless. No, and Patty is a perfect example. How many times have you remodeled her house?
No, it was continual until she got hold of Bobby. I was I was billing her $8,000 to $15,000 a month for just stuff. You know, she comes up with stuff. She's the best generator of jobs I've ever met. And it was just constant.
Oh, well, here we go. This is, we didn't get to another big point, but we'll get to it there. Put in the notes to talk more about when he said he can make sons of Abraham out of these stones. All right, take it, big guy.